Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Both the Ravens, nevermore.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, NXT flavored edition. I'm El Fecador Laurie Blake and I'm joined by Adam Blompier. How's it going? You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. You're right.
Yeah, I'm all right, actually. I am. Do you know why I'm all right? Because my mate Kyle came back to NXT this week.
Yeah, all right, Kyle.
Sporting a beard, didn't he, Kyle?
Yes,
I've missed you, Kyle, but I'll never tell you that. I'll never tell you that, Kyle. I've missed you, but I'll never tell you because I'm not soft. But Kyle O'Reilly returned to NXT this week and joined back up with the Undisputed Era and is getting set for some in-ring action, which is very exciting news because I think Undisputed Era has been sorely missing him. Here is the show where we discuss it further. So Kyle O'Reilly has returned to NXT properly. Obviously, he's been on NXT TV recently as the sort of gaslighting psychiatrist in a couple of sections of Roderick Strong. But he's not been in the building and he's not been having any matches. This was reported to be because he wasn't cleared to compete, and also reported by Dave Meltzer that Kyle has diabetes and they didn't want to have him at tapings, putting himself at risk. So hopefully this is all, it's fine that he's back and that decision's been made with the proper amount of medical advice needed. But it's good to see Kyle back on TV. He was a much missed component of the Undisputed Era, I thought, because they've not had a very good time in NXT recently, right, Adam? They've lost all their belts. They had all the gold. They've lost all of that gold, including Adam Cole, the longest reigning NXT champ in history, has also lost his title. It feels like they've been on a bit of a downward spiral. They've been on a bit of a losing streak. They've obviously been missing Kyle. Roddy's lost his mind, having been put into one too many boots for his own liking, and had that minor feud with Dexter Lumis. They've not really advanced anything. Roderick Strong even lost the match at the beginning of this show against Johnny Gargano. And then we had a promo package backstage where they were talking about kind of, they're trying to G each other up, really, and being like, why do we suck so much? Why do we keep ruining everything? And then Kyle O'Reilly walks in with fire and verve and really picks everyone up and starts to say, like, we're the Undisputed Era and we're gonna properly show people what we're made of. What were his exact words? I can't remember.
But you're Roderick Strong. You're Bobby Fish. You're Adam Cole. We were the hottest. Yeah, all that kind of, remember who you are.
Simba.
Yes, it's lovely to see him. And like you say, I think the first priority is like, you're definitely all right to be here. Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. I assume that's not a decision that, you know, obviously that's a decision that you're obviously a part of. It's great to see kind of the full pack of coyotes back.
Oh yeah. The Dogs of War.
Setting their sights on Imperium, huge tag title match next week. Like, mm-hmm. it feels like it's an exciting development. Like, obviously Adam Cole is out there losing his mind on Pat McAfee's show, which they of course showed in this episode. So it does feel like they're psychologically crumbling a little bit. And I'm not sure if that is a shift to kind of like one last stand and then up obviously to the main roster, or if they are, if this is a slow burn face turn. I mean, obviously they ambushed Imperium, which is not a very face thing to do, but they are going after Imperium, who are definitely heels. So this may sort of become a thing which is like out of their lowest point. We may see some or all of the UE kind of turning to the side of the Angels. Either way, great to see Kyle O'Reilly. What a shame he's got a chin strap, though.
Yes, the beard isn't great. And he's got like a bit of a sort of semi-mohawk vibe as well. It was some, like in that little package backstage, it kind of was all, like there's a little ridge that you can see just going down the middle there. Yeah, but like great to see him. And I think he really did actually... It felt like they're building up that he was bringing the team back together and getting everyone back on track. Everyone's obviously been individually off losing their minds because of kidnappings and losing their titles and Pat McAfee calling you short or whatever it was that's got the Undisputed Era's goat. Kyle has come back with a bit of sense and sensibility to put them back on the right track. I wonder if the title match of Imperium, because like Undisputed, if this is the last ride of the Undisputed Era in NXT, you want a big match to send them out on at TakeOver XXX. Do not Google it, whatever you do. So do you want to spiral this? Like, is there a possibility that we could get Undisputed Era versus Imperium 2? You know, like, I don't know what the flight situation is going to be come late August. But like that's a match I would like to see, especially seeing as the first one kind of ended up with the Undisputed Era working completely babyface in, oh no, sorry, with Imperium working kind Imperium of babyface face, in that match because of Wolf getting injured. So it would be interesting to see the proper 4-on-4 conclusion of that. And if I was going to do a match that was going to write Undisputed Era out of NXT or be their final standing ovation, I'd want a match where it's all of them together. Because otherwise you kind of have to wait to War Games and then maybe just do a War Games match as their finale. But yeah, like this I could definitely see this tag title match now spinning out into like in 2 weeks' time, we're going to do the full Imperium versus Undisputed Era 2, which would just be fantastic.
Game, yeah.
Yeah, I'm into that.
If the travel arrangements can be made, not sure. But, you know, I do not claim to be privy to that, but it would be nice. And also kind of maybe just see a little bit of a role reversal, have Undisputed Era kind of like, it's been a very long time since like going back to Red Dragon Day since we've seen a combination of any of them these guys work face. I mean, like obviously Roddy Strong was the last one. His face run wasn't, you know, great. Obviously he kind of went Super Saiyan when he joined the Undisputed Era, but like I genuinely would be interested to see, especially Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, see if they can work from underneath as a kind of babyface in peril team. I think that'd be really, really fun.
Yeah, I was just watching some clips of PWG and Kyle's like return when he like shocking return when Excalibur sort of stood up to Mount Rushmore 2.0 and all that kind of stuff. Like, and the pop that Kyle got as a babyface was just incredible. He's got it in him for sure. And I just think the Undisputed Era has just been so outlandishly successful for NXT that they're not willing to mess with the formula very much. They're quite happy, you know, just leaving those guys being that same character. They're kind of like, they're almost like a New Day style faction in that sense that like, you don't want to mess with it too much because actually it's just perfect the way it is. And like, you know, New Day has survived. Like New Day remained strong during Kofi Mania. They've remained strong through Woods being out injured. They're seemingly going to remain strong even with Big E being set up for a singles run now. And I think Undisputed Era has had that same sort of cohesiveness as a faction. So I don't want to see the boat rock too much, but I do feel also that they've done kind of everything that you could do in NXT as they've held every single title. So, you know, one last ride might be the way to do it.
Unless I don't see the implosion angle happening in NXT, just because I think you've got main roster t-shirts to sell. Like I think think the tee that they're rocking at the moment looks good. Adam Cole Bebe, obviously, like that's a merch shifter. And I do think get more of a swell with him with his pack of boys around him. Like
they love a faction. They love a faction, but they never give them.
They love a faction.
They love to do it, but they also do that. I think they'll do Undisputed Era on the same brand for about 2 months, and then Strong will be sent to SmackDown something will inevitably happen because they somehow can't keep factions together. I'm very pleased to see Carl back. I'm hoping that, you know, everything is all right with everyone and this has all been as thought out as possible. He definitely was a much welcome presence on NXT TV, which is a very good show this week, I thought. And I just think the possibilities are interesting with the Undisputed Era, because it's either going to be built to another Imperium match for TakeOver XXX, do not Google it, or it's going to be, I just wonder whether they're going to put the belts back on Kyle and Bobby next week, just because they're a safe pair of hands, and then get a really big match in the books for TakeOver. I don't know who, I'm not sure entirely who I think would go against them though, because just kind of Indy Sheriff drops off the face of the earth because of spoiling some finishes. Breezango aren't particularly hot at the moment. You've got Ever-Rise. getting a lot of TV time recently. I wonder if you could do a Franken team for that, you know, a quick match or whatever.
Like, I don't necessarily think the Undisputed Era have another tag run in them. I tell you what I would be interested in seeing, and I don't think you need to implode the team to do it. I think you could see on TakeOver the Undisputed Era Fatal 4-Way. And you don't have to have them like stuff. It's just like the idea that's like, maybe they pitch it to William Regal being just like, look, I think we need to get something out of our system. We need to all get on the same page. Like, I think we need to let off some steam. Like, I think, you know, because Kyle really kind of got in these guys' faces. Everyone's feeling down about themselves. I think it might be interesting to sort of see, like, just from a psychological perspective, it's a weird match. But I think it's got a good psychological grounding to it. I don't know if that's enough for WWE to put on this match.
Is it any weirder than Kyle pretending he's a psychiatrist Roddy literally never looking to his left, which was all he had to do to rumble that ruse, like, you know?
I think if there's a thing to do with the Undisputed Era at TakeOver, I would like to see the Fatal 4-Way, and just like not have it lead to them explode, just have it lead to maybe something like everyone thinks that Adam Cole's going to win it, but Kyle O'Reilly does, or something like that, just to kind of like upset the hierarchy of the group a little. You know, not focus it so much on Roddy singles, Cole singles, and then Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. It's a difficult match to pitch because it's all heel, but I think if anyone can kind of pull that off, it's NXT. And I just think, I think it's the sort of thing that, like, oh wow, I don't know what they're gonna do with that, because at the moment everything is just like, oh, they're just gonna lose loads of matches, so they either break up or leave NXT. Like, it does feel like we're entering a little bit into predictable territory. They're not gonna win the tag match next week. If they do, I will eat a banana, skin and all. If they do.
But well, they've heard it here first. They'll be live next week on, we'll do a live one for the special occasion, a live version of the NXT podcast, so Adam can eat a banana, skin and all.
Yeah, the whole thing.
We'll have to announce it on the day, obviously, because we won't know until that happens.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Do you like wrestling? Do you like improv? Do you like role-playing games? Then you'll love No Rolls Barred, presented by the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Six players come together to create a fictional wrestling promotion, roll dice, and create the kind of insanity that real companies could only dream of creating. Can Tony the Milkman survive the twilight of his career and still find time to care for his wrestling son? Can the Denimatrix overcome the vicious Apex and achieve total denimation? Can brothers Golden Joe and Silver Bro coexist as a tag team before they combust? Find out now with the wrestling show that everyone's talking about. No Rolls Barred is available wherever you get your podcasts and only presented on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network.
Let's whiz through the rest of the show, because this was like, I think it was mostly an unremarkable NXT in terms of like, there wasn't anything particularly newsworthy coming out of it, except maybe Carl returning. And obviously we have seen Carl, but the fact that he's returning to in-ring competition is a really big get, I think, for Undisputed Era, and should be the thing they need to sort of lift them out of the doldrums of what's been happening to them recently. But everything else was just sort of bubbling along as per usual. We're sort of setting up the matches that we're going to get for TakeOver XXX. And I'm really, really excited for one of them. Like, one of them I am mad excited for, and I didn't really realize it until watching this show. I am so, so keen for Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross. Mm-hmm. I out loud just went, oh my God, after the little promo package in the middle of this show. But the show opens with a recap of Keith Lee and Dominic Dijakovic's kind of relationship, and then what happened with Karrion Kross last week where he beat him down in the ring while Keith Lee was made to watch. This was just setting the tone for something that would happen later in the show, which we'll go through things in order, and we'll get to that when we get to that. The show actually kicked off with Io Shirai and Tegan Nox teaming up against Dakota Kai and Candice LeRae. Obviously, there is a lot of drama in this group because Candice has been friends with all of them. Kai and Tegan Nox are former tag team partners. Kai also attacked Io Shirai at the end of last week's or the week before's show. And Kai also jumps them here. She as Io Shirai is making her entrance, Kai runs out and attacks her. Tegan Nox runs out after her. Candice LeRae runs out after that, and it's kind of a fairly sloppy brawl to get into the ring, start the match. I wasn't massively blown away by this tag match. I thought it was a little bit slow. I thought it was a little bit badly paced. It was a little bit rough around the edges. Like, it definitely picked up when Io Shirai came in and started to just go mad on everyone. It really, really found its feet there. But before that, it was just a little bit botchy and sloppy, and it felt like they weren't really clicking. And it's weird because they've all worked together before brilliantly and put on some really, really top quality matches. So I don't know why this didn't click. Maybe it was just the going out first. Maybe they just weren't feeling it that evening. I don't know. But it didn't really work for me. There was a couple of really good bits though when Shirai came in and she sort of stepped over Kai to go for her moonsault, but Kai got her on the top and went for a superplex, then got knocked into the tree of woe. And then Io hits this crazy double stomp onto Kai as she's sort of holding herself up. And that's a double stomp that we've seen a lot of people do. Like, Andrade does one. Sasha sometimes does one. Finn does one as well. And normally they sort of tap the person on the chest and that person flops down. Io Shirai tapped her on the face and her face flopped down upside down onto the floor. It looked absolutely foul. great stuff though. And then, yeah, she just, Candice rolls in to get a missile drop kick to the face. Then she gets hit with the knees. Shirai then dives out to take out Kai. Meanwhile, Tegan sliding in hits Candice with the shiniest wizard. Shirai hits her Sayu moonsault. And then hits her with another double knees while doing the moonsault, because she just clatters her and then gets the pin. Candice, I think, has had a really bad run of getting hit in the face with people's feet and knees recently. Yeah. And then she's also like, she is the pin machine still. She just is there to take the pin. This match was fine. I don't think it added much to, I don't think it really did much to add to the feud between Io Shirai and Dakota Kai after that brawl, after the match with Tegan Nox. This felt just sort of like Shirai getting some heat back for having to take the beating, because it was so easily handled by her alone. Really, Tegan Nox had very little part to play in what happened in the match. So yeah, I didn't get much out of this. How about you?
Yeah, same. Poor Candice. Poor Candice. Because I honestly feel like, I think Dakota Kai's great. I kind of like her partnership with Raquel Gonzalez, oddly absent. I just don't know if Kai Shirai feels like the feud right now. Maybe it is. Because I don't know. I just feel like after Great American Bash, I thought it was Candice's time.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like that she was one that being kind of positioned most. Maybe she's going to be the next champion, so they don't want to rush to get us there. But like right now, like I think I would rather see a number one contenders match between Candice LeRae and Rhea Ripley than Dakota Kai, which suggests that Kai is going to win next week. Just because otherwise, if Rhea was going to be a number one contender, you'd probably just put Candice in that match. Unless he didn't want to beat Candice again. Who knows? Either way, I don't think the story with Dakota Kai and Io Shirai was strong enough to seed narrative beats throughout this match. I think, if you're not going to have, the absolute top, high stakes, something on the line work rate match, you should have a match which, get some story in. And I think what this lacked is basically, Dakota Kai attacked Shirai, but it wasn't until, really after this match where Dakai had the promo, which basically says I am the number one contender, and then you have the Rhea Ripley thing. So it just didn't feel like there was a whole lot to hang on this match. It feels like Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai has been a little bit overplayed. Candice feels like she might need more protecting than she's currently getting. Yeah, it didn't quite feel like completely kind of a full package of a thing.
Yeah, and I agree. I think Candice is getting really short shrift here, because I think I think her and Johnny's story is one of the more interesting ones in NXT that they could play with. It's something they haven't done before. I think importantly, it would be a very novel approach to it to have Johnny backing up Candice and Johnny being the one to elevate Candice to the NXT champion, NXT Women's Championship. Yeah. And I hope they do start doing that soon, because I do think that's really worthwhile and really interesting. And I think Johnny's got a lot to offer in that regard, with obviously he's great and very good at the wrestling bit of it, but I think he's got a lot to offer just in terms of being a background character to somebody else's rise, which I think is fair enough, because Candice did that for the last 5 years of NXT for Johnny, and took such a backseat to everything that he did, not even being involved in takeovers beyond to be there for Johnny's matches. So I would really like to see that story play out. And I think Candice has a lot to offer in this heel turn. And I think that was really felt like it was going to go places, and it stalled immediately. And I'm a bit upset that that's kind of what's happened here, because we're just getting retreads of who can go against Dakota Kai at short notice. It's obviously Tegan Nox. It's like we've done that feud. We've buried that. I feel like that's completely done. The Io Shirai and Dakota Kai one hasn't hotted up in the way that you think it would after Dakota Kai attacked Io post-match in her debut defense of the NXT Women's Championship. So nothing really clicked here for me. It just felt like a load of loose threads that never really got tied up. We then got the recap of the angle with Pat McAfee and Adam Cole, and him shouting about being small and knocking over things and going, "Don't touch me," to that man. And then McAfee going, "What the hell's wrong with that guy?" Classic acting. And yeah, I don't know what the point of this is. Like, this is going to be a weird feud if this is a feud, or I don't know what this is about.
If the match is Cole versus McAfee at TakeOver, I don't want that. How do we make that not? That's not going to happen, is it?
Well, the only thing I would think is worse than that is that you put over the other guy on your way out. So I'm hoping that Adam Cole doesn't put over Pat McAfee.
Got to make McAfee look strong.
Oh my God. Yeah, I think Adam Cole sold it really well, the drama here in this, like, I'm thinking it's a work. It has to be a work. It felt very scripted. Yeah. So like, yeah, it's, I think Adam Cole was brilliant in this bit. I don't want to see him and Pat McAfee have a match. I don't want to see him and Pat McAfee have another conversation. So I'm hoping this gets buried somewhere.
Yeah,
it's just a bit of drama to stir the pot. We then got Gargano and Strong, like a sort of package talking about Gargano and Strong having problems from last week, and they were going to settle things. Gargano has another version of his music. I don't know if that's been around for a while, but I really noticed it this week that it's yet another version of that music. This was great. This was really, really good. This was a match that we haven't had in NXT for a while, which is a Johnny Gargano like special, really, which is just give me another indie guy that I've worked with loads of times before and we'll just do something crazy. And this had some really, really cool stuff, like Johnny mid-move turning a sort of powerbomb Olympic slam thing into a hurricanrana, then hurricanranaing Roddy onto the barricade outside, chucking him into the post, hitting the one final beat DDT as he gets back in. Even on a slow cover, Johnny wins the match. This was just like pure NXT through and through. This was just like a regular NXT TV match. Not a lot to do with, like, not a lot to spin out of it. Spins out of something pretty... that was quite neatly tied up, I think, last week anyway. So they just added another match to give these guys a good bit of TV time to do what they do best, which is very good wrestling. And I'm very pleased that Gargano and Strong got this time because, yeah, they've both been sort of putting over the other guys more recently. And so this felt like a really good sort of show for them both to go out there and do their thing. And not, you know, not for the vehicle of making Bronson Reed or someone look really good.
Yeah, it were good. Obviously, I think with the guys of this caliber, when you're kind of told, oh, these guys are going to wrestle, your brain flashes, TakeOver. But, you know, those not necessarily realistic expectations for weekly telly. A good TV match, not what they are fully capable of, but a good TV match.
So after that, that's when we then saw Dakota Kai backstage talking up the fact that she thinks she is the number one contender because she's... basically because she's had matches against all these people.
I'm the number one.
Yeah, contender. Yeah. You also lost that match that you just had, Dakota. If anyone's the number one contender, it's Tegan Nox again, because she at least helped. Bloody hell. So she says all this and she's about to walk off and be like, I'm going to go ask Mr. Regal now. And then Rhea Ripley interrupts with her new Adam Blompier hair. And
it looks great. It looks great. Everyone should have that hair. Everyone with hair should have that hair. She looks fantastic. I really like Rhea Ripley's new hair. It's really good.
She does look great.
She looks great. It's like, just when someone like, it's such a, I think the term is glow up. Glow up is the term, I think. When someone takes such a bold move with their hair and carries it out to perfection, I think that's really, really exciting. It just, I could not talk enough about Rhea Ripley's hair. I think it's really good.
Even if she does look like, what's her face? The super vegan from Scott Pilgrim, whatever.
Could look worse.
Could look worse. Could look worse.
I've got to rewatch that bit again. That's the bit with the metric song, isn't it? That's such a good bit of Scott Pilgrim, that. Oh, great hair.
I was watching the bloopers for that yesterday. I love Scott Pilgrim. What a great film. So Rhea Ripley comes in and says that she has an issue with Dakota Kai saying that she's the number one contender, probably because Dakota Kai is just claiming it off the back of I kicked her in the head one time. And she says she wants to be the next one for Io. And so Dakota, in classic heel fashion, finishes this conversation by, yeah, well, we'll see what Mr. Regal says about that.
Yeah, cool, my dad.
I'm going to speak to the teacher. Goodbye. it didn't feel very heelish. It felt a little bit weak for Dakota Kai, but fine.
Well, she's a weak heel. Like, that's her kind of thing, right?
I'm into Dakota Kai versus Rhea Ripley. I'm hoping that Raquel Gonzalez can be there for that though, because I think that's the difference maker. It would be very dramatic if Kai overcomes Rhea without the help of Gonzalez next week. If it's actually like a proper, that would be a real upset. I think that's the way forward.
If it's not Mercedes getting involved to have a feud with Rhea, then I think it will be, because Raquel Gonzalez has been off TV for a little bit, and it kind of makes sense to kind of bring her back in the clutch when it's most needed, and also set her up as a real threat, like a difference maker for TakeOver. Like that makes sense to kind of just do all of that in the number one contenders match. And then hopefully the Dakota Kai Shirai feud will get cooking.
Mm-hmm. We then saw Timothy Thatcher backstage getting interviewed, and he said he's going to stretch out his opponents because he's taking on Dexter Lumis and Finn Balor later in the show. We then saw the Undisputed Era and Kyle arriving and telling everyone to get hype and telling them their names and looking quite tanned, really. Shotzi Blackheart then took on Mercedes Martinez, spilling out of the tank fiasco from last week, which actually, you know, was good because it gave Robert Stone something to do that felt like a proper advancement of the story. Stone and Aaliyah were in Mercedes's corner, but didn't get involved in the match too much, though Stone at one point did distract Shotzi on the outside, giving Mercedes the opportunity to dump her onto the apron. But after that, Shotzi sort of fired up. She hit a bunch of kicks, did a big reverse senton thing, and then she was looking for sliced bread number two and ended up caught on the top rope. And Mercedes just did this awful release German suplex from there.
So
like a spider suplex, because she kept her feet hooked and just dumped her backwards and then just climbed down. I think that was the best bit of it, because it wasn't like I'm going to get up and turn around. Like, you know, someone like a Daniel Bryan might do that and then turn around, do a splash or something. And Mercedes just went, no, I'm going to climb down sensibly. And then I'm just going to walk over and I'm going to hit a finisher on you. And that is the end of the match. It was brilliant. I really like the way Martinez is being presented. She's different enough from Shayna Baszler that I think those kind of we're kind of getting around those comparisons now. I love the Mortal Kombat look when she comes out as well. The sort of like she's got sort of a mix of Katana and Sub-Zero about her. It's brilliant. I think it's great that the Robert Stone brand finally has someone signed to it that's actually like worth talking about in, you know, actually making, like, being involved in so much of NXT TV for Robert Stone when absolutely nothing. What happened there in the back?
I think a bowl fell on the ground. Are you all right? She's fine. She's fine.
It's okay, everyone. My lord. It's been an NXT podcast of interruptions today.
Is there going to be a tag match being set up at the back of this?
I just really enjoy Mercedes Martinez on the Robert Stone brand. I think it's really clever booking. I wonder if they're going to get rid of Aaliyah at some point as part of that storyline. But
why is she out there? Is Robert Stone going to bring his entire brand
every time?
I thought it was fine. Like I said, the first week after signing a new person, Robert Stone having a small but not overpowering impact. And then basically, just being just like, look, cool, she's good. Yay, she's good, isn't she? Having a little bit of he's got his comic big shoe there.
Mm-hmm.
Doing, fine. Yep, progress. Why not? Yep.
And I'm excited to see where it goes, because I think Mercedes Martinez is definitely one of those names you want earmarked for a championship opportunity down the line, because I think she's definitely got an air of like could have a very long reign with that NXT women's title at some point. Probably not for a while. I think like we've probably got Rhea winning it again before that. We've probably got Candice as well, because those stories feel a bit more locked in to some degree. But I could definitely see Martinez winning it at some point. We then got a package for Ridge Holland, who I meant to look up before this, who he's been over in NXT UK and he's making his debut for NXT next week. Which was later revealed to be as part of a triple threat with Damian Priest and Oney Lorcan. It was a bit, had smacked of Peaky Blinders, this, or like some sort of Jekyll and Hyde style. It was just had a cobbled street vibe is what I think, but not in a Coronation Street way, like in a, you know, it's trying to be edgy cobbled streets. It looked pretty good. I don't really know what more to say about it than that, because it was just a sort of, hard. Like, it was not quite as cool as all of NXT's other promo packages have been. And Ridge Holland is a dreadful, dreadful name. Ridge Holland. Ugh.
Yeah, it does sound like a really bad crisp, doesn't it?
Mm. Are you eating your Ridge Hollands today?
The medical crisps.
The medicinal crisps, yeah. Cowpole flavored Ridge Hollands. but yeah, it'd be nice. It's always good when you get a fresh face in NXT and, you know, being immediately inserted into a big triple threat match with Damian Priest and Oney Lorcan. One, means he's going to get the absolute S-word slapped out of him. But two, like, that's going to be some really good TV time on NXT next week, you have to imagine. Like, so far, the triple threats have been given a good 15 minutes of the show. So unless they're going to do some major schmoz in this match, I imagine he's going to get a really good long showing in his debut match for NXT, which is great. We then got Keith Lee coming out because he wanted to address Karrion Kross. And this was the moment where I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I am so bloody keen on this feud. I can't even explain how excited I am to see this takeover match, because it has to be a takeover match. And if they don't do it on takeover, I'm going to be very, very cross. I'm going to write a letter to William Regal, which he'll appreciate because he's old school. so he goes out and says he wants to address Karrion Kross because he said, you know, people have been talking about me standing by while Dijak was in the ring, but Dijak is a full-grown man and he made his choice. And he says, like, you've come after me and you've done so much extra bull S-word. He dropped a swear on the telly. He did it twice. He dropped two swears and everyone was like, oh, in classic wrestling fashion. But it was really good. Like, Keith Lee is such an amazing talker. And this was really powerful. It was the perfect time to drop it. Really well done. And he said, and all of that chat, all of that stuff you've said, all that extra stuff, all means nothing when you won't come and do the one thing that I'm doing in the ring, face to face, man to man, calling me out. And he says, so I'm calling you out, Karrion Kross. And then Cameron Grimes into it.
it's so good. He has properly elevated himself into Vicky Guerrero heat territory. He's just got that style of delivery that's so irritating, but also charismatic enough that you're not like completely get off my screen. It was, I roared with laughter when Cameron Grimes came out, because I knew what they were doing. Like, everyone knows what they're doing. He comes out, Cameron Grimes, and just like, you just like, oh, he's gonna get murdered, because Keith Lee is just standing there just looking with a kind of vein throbbing in his forehead. Oh, really funny. And it's like, it doesn't even bury Cameron Grimes, because he's just such a good foil. It's like, he really added, it's like, yeah, intense moment, bit of light, bit of a breather, bit of catharsis, and then another really intense moment. Like, this segment really worked. Like, yeah, it was the only, it was a bit of a low key NXT this week. Not a huge amount of like pulse pounding kind of stuff. Like, good stuff, but not, you know, not as good as last week in terms of like high octane. But this promo was the bomb. Loved
it. Was absolutely fire. And yeah, so Cameron Grimes comes out and he's going, Cameron Grimes is gonna come for the NXT championship, and he gets on the apron, he's going, Keith, can you not hear me here, Keith? And Keith Lee just turns around straight into a choke hold, choke slams him over the top rope like it's nothing, and then slams him up and down in the corner. But as that happens, the lights go out, Scarlett appears in the spotlight to watch. Grimes, trying to use that distraction, leaps in to do the cave-in, but gets caught in a spirit bomb. And then Scarlett introduces Karrion Kross on the screen, who's been filmed in extreme close-up. And he says, what kind of a man makes the choice to stand by and do nothing while his friend suffers? you give me my shot at the NXT championship. You can do it the easy way or the hard way. And you don't want to know what the hard way is, because everyone will suffer. TikTok. And then Keith just goes, yeah, fine, pick the time and place, and I'll whoop that ass.
Yeah, you're cool, Keith Lee.
Every single bit of this was perfectly done. I think you're completely right. That, like, even the Cameron Grimes moment, that moment of, like, heightened suspense and just cutting it with a very well done comedic bit from Cameron Grimes, who is that kind of perfect annoying heel. And you also get off the back of that, you get to see how strong Keith Lee looks as the champion and like how angry and upset he is as well. And then you get that
spirit bomb. Oof.
That big challenge from Karrion Kross, which I'm hoping is setting up for TakeOver. It has to be setting up for TakeOver.
Yeah.
Which does put you in the very tricky predicament of who's going to win the old TakeOver match, because I do think Karrion Kross should win. Just story-wise, I just think Karrion Kross winning feels like it makes the most sense for the way he's been presented so far. But man, I don't want Keith Lee to lose the NXT championship so quickly after winning it, unless he is off and up onto much bigger things. So yeah, really, that is going to be so hard to predict when we have to do that one. I think that's going to be like, I'm really going to agonize over that choice, but I cannot wait to see that match, because big guys throwing each other around is my jam. We then got Ever-Rise coming out to, so apparently losing to Breezango gets you a match with the tag team champions. That is the way NXT hierarchy has always worked. And it's the old NXT shortcut, as it's now known. Imperium were out to beat them in very, very short shrift. I barely made any notes in this match because I just went, oh, look, they've lost the week before. By the time
I didn't even have a photo for it.
Yeah, by the time I'd finished typing what, like, my note on just being like, oh, didn't they lose to Breezango last week? It was like, European bomb, they've won. Marcel Bartel then attempts to cut a promo, but the whole of the Undisputed Era run out, mob Imperium and beat them all to hell. Kyle and Bobby hit the no man's land, and Undisputed Era get to stand tall. And this sets up the championship match for next week. This was great stuff. I thought this was really good. This was like a fine little showing for Imperium, who have been absent from NXT TV basically since they won the belts, which feels a bit odd because it was just moving it so they could have Riddle on SmackDown, really, wasn't it? And because they can have Pete Dunne. So like, they just moved the belts as quickly as possible and then forgot about them for a very long time. So it's weird that the tag titles are coming back for this sudden match next week, but whatever, I'm into it. I think these two teams work really well together and I'm really excited to see it. And this was a perfectly fine way to set that up for me. And it feels like the Undisputed Era trying to get back in sync and be the dominant force that they were at the start of NXT's tenure on USA, which was almost a year ago. We then got a Bronson Reed package, which was wholesome and nice, talking about graffiti and being from Adelaide and stuff like that. And it was fine.
It was nicer than fine.
It was fine.
It was stuff we'd never learnt about Bronson Reed before, like how wrestling was his life, you know, the adorable relationship he has with his partner, you know, like she, you know, helped him financially to train, and like she's kind of his rock, his foundation. And like, it was really sweet. Like, definitely like stuff to kind of add into the ladder match. I'm sorry that it didn't have a swear in it, Laurie.
No, it's not about a swear. It's about a, like, I just think when NXT does this with people, it doesn't work. And I just think being so wholesome with people just really don't, like, they tried it with Roddy Strong and it just didn't work. Like, Roddy's babyface run was all about being a family man and, you know,
and
it being his life. And I don't know. I just don't think it works. And
that's all Roddy had, though. Roddy was like, when you boil Roddy down to just like white meat baby face, then he is a custom wrestler, like, you know, custom wrestler number one. But, you know, Bronson Reed's got, you know, all the kind of the thick boy and the kind of the unique sort of high flying offense of a big guy to add on top of that, like a really adorable Vader. That's a pretty cool wrestling character. I don't know if that's
lovely Vader.
Lovely Vader. Hug Van Vader.
Vader.
I thought it was nice. I'm not a broken hearted cynic like you.
No, well, that's what you get. Balor was then seen warming up for the match later in the night. He picked up his jacket, and then you saw Dexter Lumis sort of lurking in the background, but nothing was said, which I think was well done on NXT's part to not be like, oh my God, is that Dexter Lumis? That's Dexter Lumis there. What's he doing there? Which is something that Raw would do. So I think at least a little bit of subtlety to what was quite a goofy little segment. We then got Regal at home, you assume. because the grandfather clock was there. What's the most William Regal item that you could find in your vicinity?
A book? No, that's too small.
A grandfather clock. Excellent. Yes. And he says he won't be bullied into making championship matches by Keith Lee and Karrion Kross, and that still has to be earned in the traditional way. So I assume we're going to have some Karrion Kross matches the next couple of weeks to earn him that number one contendership.
I hope that it's going to be the hard way. That's what I really hope is coming out of this. Because obviously, like, Keith Lee wants to kick Karrion Kross's. He wants to whoop that ass, as he said. So much so that, yeah, like, so when Karrion Kross presented him with the choice, the easy way or the hard way, I was just like, oh, the idea of everyone will suffer. What does that mean in NXT? Does that mean that Karrion Kross is going to go through backstage and destroy everyone? You know, like the Shield used to do back in the day, literally blitz through catering and just kill everyone. That sounds interesting. But Keith Lee wants the match too much. So like Keith Lee's like, the easy way, please. And I was like, oh, the hard way sounds like fun telly. So maybe just this whole William Regal thing is a way for us to get the hard way. And I'm really interested to see kind of the reign of terror that Karrion Kross is going to go on.
Oh, it's absolutely setting up that, yeah, that Keith Lee choosing the hard way is not a big baby face.
Doesn't make sense.
Like, but being forced into it by William Regal and having to suffer through basically 3 weeks of torment before TakeOver is really good telly, like you said. And I think, yeah, Karrion Kross decimating the backstage of NXT and getting, as long as it doesn't turn into Samoa Joe, AJ Styles territory. Ooh, Wendy. Like, just Mia. Yeah, as long as it doesn't go there, I think it's fine. I think it could be really interesting. We then got Swerve Scott versus Jake Atlas in a little cruiserweight match. I think this was a number one contendership match from the sounds of it. Like, it seems like they're setting up Swerve for a shot at Santos Escobar, which I think he'll inevitably lose. But this was quite good. This was a lot of fun. These two guys worked really well together. Jake hits this crazy springboard blockbuster at one point, which was really cool. And then Swerve rolled through to do his like roll through flatliner thing, and Jake just kicked him in the face as he popped up, which was just no thank you. Scott then did this big release German suplex and then finally hit the roll through flatliner. But I think the really cool moment, there was a couple of really cool moments towards the end where Jake sort of just, They were resting on the top, and Jake sort of grabbed Swerve's arm and just in like one fluid motion managed to pull him up by the arm and put him in a fireman's carry and then swivel off and dump him on his back, which just looked awesome. And then there was a moment where they sort of fought through the ropes to the outside and Jake was hanging by his feet from the bottom rope and Swerve hits the house call to just the side of Jake's head on the outside and then dumps him in, hits the JML driver and picks up the win. This was really, really cool. I think this was a great little match. This was exactly what WWE and NXT especially likes to do with the cruiserweights, which is just go and have your really good cruiserweight match, please, that doesn't necessarily pertain to anything wider that's going on NXT TV. Maybe it builds into 205 Live. I've not been watching that very much recently, so I don't know. But Swerve versus Santos Escobar is definitely something I want to see. And I really like the pairing. Like I said, I think Drake Maverick is the one to take the belt off Santos Escobar down the line, but Swerve is a very good first proper opponent for him and will make him look stronger in the victory. We then got a bunch of match announcements where it was Damian Priest versus Oney Lorcan and Ridge Holland for next week. Priest said that he's the favorite to win. And in this match, there's not going to be an upset victory like in the Bronson Reed one. It is just going to be the favorite wins. And then he's going to go on and win the North American title, which was quite good for Damian Priest. I like that sort of playing into it. I think it adds more stakes to it as well. There's a bit more meaning added to it when I think this next match also had an upset victory. So like there are two kind of outsiders already booked in for the ladder match now. Yeah. So like you said, it would be nice to hang it around a star who already has a bit of cachet in NXT and has, you know, would seem like the logical choice to be North American champion. So maybe Damian Priest is the guy they've kind of tapped up for that.
He's definitely good enough.
Yeah, he absolutely is. We then also got announcement of the Ripley and Kai match for the number one contendership for the Women's Championship and the Undisputed Era and Imperium title match for next week. And then we got the main event, which was Loomis and Dexter Loomis and Finn Balor and Timothy Thatcher in a triple threat.
Can we just quickly talk about how William Regal said he wouldn't be bullied into title matches, and then the immediately went and demanded a number one contenders match, and then the tag title match came as a result of a brawl that got out of hand. Mm-hmm. And just be like, all right, Will.
Well,
whatever you say, bud.
But his difference is he won't be bullied into it. If people ask him, go and ask him nicely, he won't do it. But if it's a brawl and it's a punishment for someone to have a championship match, then that's it. Like, it's weird, like the logic of settling it in the ring is very elastic. Mm. It stretches around whatever you want, but it also snaps shut whenever you need it to. Yeah, William Regal's booking makes absolutely no sense. Changeable like the face of a grandfather clock. This was good, though. I really enjoyed this main event match. I think they all worked really, really well together. A lot of it was about the fact that Loomis just keeps on coming. He was in control for quite a lot early on. He did this brilliant... He did a ricochet, didn't he? He did a little flip over the top rope and landed on his feet. And it was
unbelievably good. Yeah. Like, that's the thing about Dexter Loomis that I love the most. Like, I still think he's woolly. The whole doesn't speak thing, I think, is... Like, I think that's actually could be a really cool gimmick, not talking, like not one word. You know, it was something I pitched for Bobby Lashley, like on Parts of Unknown. But you do kind of need to kind of get an idea clearly of what he wants. And it might be worth like that statement, you know, or getting a manager or something. Just you do need to kind of get a sense of intention from Dexter Loomis. But like the thing that kind of captivates me about him is just this poise that he has. And like, I've compared him to The Undertaker, not necessarily because like he's got that kind of amazing gimmick that The Undertaker has, but simply because he inhabits his gimmick like fully. Like, he has that stillness and he has that control over his body, which is like, it genuinely, like it's like really good clown and mime work. Like, someone with that much physical awareness and be able to kind of just like hold themselves and understand that power comes from control, not from berserker mode. To be able to hit a flipping senton, land on your feet, and then just stay still. Like, even Ricochet, I don't think could do that. Ricochet kind of took a walk forward and then kind of puffed his chest out and kind of gave away a little bit of that power. Dexter Loomis just stood there and just went, and it's just like, oh my God, you are otherworldly. Really, really, really good.
Yeah, I think he is a fantastic talent. And I think what's amazing about him as well is that he's been so restrained so far in his booking that, like, you've not really seen the depths of what he can do. Like, the most we've seen before this crazy flip to the outside was that he does the slide and then does the little uppercut when he gets out. And he did that in this match as well when, towards the end, as they were working over Finn Balor's leg for a lot of it, Thatcher had Balor's leg locked up on the apron. And across this shot that you're seeing on screen now, Loomis, like, slipped out of the ring like a little... I don't know, like a calf being born, popped up and then started hitting people with an uppercut.
Hell.
Imagery. That's good imagery, I think.
Sluicing out like
he's yeah, exactly, yeah, like a placenta. He appeared, and someone's been having his Ridge Hollands. Yeah, and I just think all three of these work together. Like, it was really well told that like a lot of the match focused on Balor and Thatcher, like trying to get a sort of a one-on-one match going, really. And Loomis taking all this punishment and dropping to the outside and still being in it. And then towards the end, yeah, Balor took this injury from Thatcher. Loomis got in and had a bit of a brawl with Thatcher, finally hit the Uranagi into the silence, but Balor breaks up with the coup de grace. And then as he sort of goes to pin Loomis, Thatcher drags him off and locks in this horrific looking ankle lock. But then Loomis just sort of snakes in to the background like, hey guy, and then locks in his own silence, and Thatcher passes out, which allows Balor out. But that's Loomis winning the match. Really, really good stuff. I just think I felt like Loomis was a character that wouldn't necessarily just work thrown into random matches with like really top level guys unless there was some sort of build into it, and this proved that wrong. I think his thing does just work across the board, and I think it's like you said, because he has such good character work and he's got such a way of reacting to everything as Dexter Loomis, the character, and not just being like, I'm just a wrestler, so I should just do, this is how a wrestler would do it. He's always like, this is how Dexter Loomis, the character, would react to all of these moments. And it's always with an eerie calm.
Yes.
And that actually, it's starting to get over now, I think. Like, it felt a bit goofy the first few times you saw it. Like, in the breakout tournament, I thought the Dexter Loomis character was a bit like, yeah, we're not really into it. But the more I see of him, the more I'm like, yes, this is really for me.
I think if this was happening in front of a crowd, he'd be a lot more over by this point, just because, like I said, he's just nailing too many spots. Like, he's really reliable. He's got a kind of a consistent presence. I think fans would really kind of react to that kind of stuff. And like, I think as well, in a way that you don't necessarily get with the kind of the manufactured crowd that we currently have. Which is not, again, I don't want to rap on those guys too much, because I do think NXT is better for a bit of life around the ring. But I think if you had like a smarter crowd, I think they would have kind of like they elevated the Velveteen Dream way back when. It's almost like the crowd work and the crowd being amused by Dexter's weirdness is a bit that we're really missing out on. It's kind of, it might be enough to complete his character. I'm not sure. Maybe like a little bit more intent, a bit more of an understanding of him might be there as well. But I think, yeah, I do think it's a shame that we're kind of missing out on the crowd being able to react to, yeah, like the Ricochet flip. People lost their minds.
That was so nuts. I think a very good episode of NXT. It wasn't like right home about newsworthy, but it really had a lot in it that was really good. Like, this was like, you know, I think Gargano and Strong was peak NXT TV match. Like, it was just kind of the archetypical NXT TV match, which is very, very high quality. The main event was great and had some really crazy spots in it. Keith Lee and Karrion Kross promo that kind of came around the middle of the show was perfection. Like, that was a wrestling promo done absolutely perfectly. That is the build to a match that I was already excited to see, but I am now desperate to see. And there was a bunch of other stuff that was very, very good and going places. And, you know, I think the weakest point of it for me was that opening match. I just didn't really click with where that was going story-wise, but I think everything else has set up all the dominoes very, very nicely to knock them all down in time for TakeOver XXX. Please don't Google it. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. A solid show. Like you say, wasn't anything kind of massively explosive. I think, you know, the triple threat wasn't as stacked as last week's triple threat. I think, you know, some of the other matches weren't quite at, you know, didn't have that kind of, oh, now this is where we're going kind of revelatory feel. There wasn't as much development. There was just some subtle, nuanced development and a few things to hang your hat on, which is, yeah, it's good weekly telly. It's very much in service of TakeOver. TakeOvers are supposed to be bigger. They're supposed to be bigger than the telly. And I understand the kind of the whole Wednesday Night War narrative being just like every week you have to be fighting for your life tooth and nail. But this is, yeah, like NXT is being super dependable right now. It's a good show with good characters building to what probably will be really great shows.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's remarkable in a world where, you know, WWE just did Extreme Rules and all the finishes of Extreme Rules were really about making you watch Raw. And I think it's important to have that feeling that one of the two things is the main thing. And that's what, you know, the main roster really struggles with, the idea of what's more important, the pay-per-view or the television show. And they keep flip-flopping on which one that is. And NXT has always had that TakeOver is where stuff is done. And that's where all the really big, important moments happen. And then it was a lovely bonus when they started to decide that, you know, when they went on USA, that some really big things would happen on the weekly TV program as well. But they've always maintained that TakeOver is special, and TakeOver 30 has to be special because it's such a milestone for that brand within that company. So I'm really super excited to see what happens. But yeah, please do not Google it, whatever you do.
Do you like quizzes?
Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
Laurie?
Yes, mate.
Is banana skin poisonous?
I don't know, you know. Maybe. Should we Google it? Let's Google
it. Let's Google it. Because I do want to kind of stick to my guns here. I realize that I have...
Banana peels are not poisonous. In fact, they're edible and packed with nutrients.
Well, there you go.
So says Del Monte. No, this is just from some sort of science website, so I think it's fine. The number one Google of banana peel is banana peel poisonous dogs, so I think it's fine for humans.
I don't want to end up feeling
rough. I imagine it's not too bad to eat a banana peel.
Like a banana, yeah. Yeah, I'm just...
The end bit might be, the bit that connects it to the bunch might be the difficult bit. I feel like that's got
I don't have to eat that, do I?
No, you do. You said you'd eat the whole thing.
I said I'd eat the banana and the skin.
Okay, we'll find one that's got a slightly smaller stem then, and that'll be fine. But I'm not letting you off lightly here. This is what you said you'd do.
Sorry,
you have please. You have to eat the top and the bottom end of the banana. The weird rough bits is what you've got to eat.
Unhinge my jaw and take the whole thing. I don't want to disgusting. Do that. I don't want to do that. Oh, no.
Isn't it weird how fruit comes with a wrapper? It does baffle me that, like, slightly, that, you know, how much fruit comes in its own little packet. And do you think that's where people got the idea for, like, say, crisp packets from?
Yes.
Yeah, to be like, I looked at a banana and thought, isn't that brilliant that the tasty bits happens to be in another bit that's holding it and keeping it safe?
You used to just get like a handful of crisps. Someone would have like a barrel of them behind the counter and you just hold your hand out and he would just pour some crisps into your hand.
Yeah, and sometimes I'd like, you know, you'd take your flat cap off if you needed more and just be like, fill her up.
Well, if you're Kyle, a working fan, absolutely.
Fill her up, Kyle.
But then obviously people looked at fruit and be just like, oh, there's a bit of an event there. And so that's when they kind of came up with crisp packets.
Yeah. And then after that, obviously birthdays was, that's when they came up with birthday presents and stuff after that. Yep. And then after that, pass the parcel, et cetera. But if you trace the lineage back of all of these things, fruit was the first one.
Chiefly the nana. Yeah. Just, you know, being able to kind of get to the little prize inside. It's very important, part of the evolution of human culture.
Well, there you go. You learn something new every single time you listen to the WrestleTalk podcast, because we are not just here to tell you about what happened on NXT this week. We are here to enlighten you as to the evolution of humankind and the sciences and all of those, you know, those wonderful things. We're up there with other podcasts, like stuff like the BBC does. That's what we're really trying to do. We're trying to expand people's horizons here.
Yeah.
I hope you've enjoyed that. I don't know what absolute horse shit Pete and Andy will tell you on Saturday, but they've got that on the SmackDown podcast. Luke is also doing the Friday show, the magazine show with Xenia from Wrestling Twitter. So that'd be really interesting. And then we are back on the trail next week, as always, with Raw. When's the next pay-per-view? Next pay-per-view's basically TakeOver SummerSlam, isn't it? Yeah,
so 23rd, a few weeks from SummerSlam, 22nd for TakeOver XXX.
Mm-hmm. So those will be the next big podcast reviews that we're going to do, which is good because I feel like we need a cooling off period for Wrestle League while we build into these last, there's like two more left basically, and then it's all decided. And currently I'm at the top of that league.
By one point, my darling, and let's not forget who's right behind you.
Yeah, well, I still 1 point. One point's all I need because I can just predict exactly what you've predicted.
You do that.
I'll just do that. I'll make sure you're on both prediction show, and then I'll just say, Adam, you go first.
You piece of human
garbage. Oh, I'm absolutely going to win this one. It's my year. Well, that's all we've got time for. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.